we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Thursday in Brevard County, Florida, August the 17th. We are thankful that you have tuned in to 91.5 FM today, WMIE. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. And we're spending the next 30 minutes with you here as you are either on your way to work, driving home from work, cleaning your house, or at work listening on the radio. And we want to welcome you to this broadcast today. A dear friend of ours, it's their birthday today, and we want to say happy birthday to them on the air today. So God bless you. We appreciate you and all that God has done in your life. I want to take just a moment and invite you out to our Sunday morning services this week. Sunday at 10:30, Duke Matlock will be ministering. He has been with us and had some workshops with us on Saturday this year. He's just speaking on Sunday morning. And so if you have heard his programs on the air before, we've had a couple of his get acquainted sessions, let's put it that way, on the radio in, I think it was last August, right about this time of the year, on a Thursday and a Friday, and then one other time, I think in November, something like that of last year, we had him on again. But he will be preaching the Word of God. He's out of Kissimmee, pastored a great church there. He's one of our presbyters here in the Assemblies of God, and you'll be blessed by his ministry. And we want to invite you to come out Sunday morning, 10:30, and hear him. Sunday night at 6:30, we're going to be having a little bit of praise and worship, and then we're going to be basically doing some volunteer orientation at the church. And so we're very thankful for all of the people that God has brought in to the church and are looking forward to stepping up and serving. So I haven't talked much this week about our trip to General Council. It was a very busy week. One of the highlights of my week was I got on an airplane Friday night. And it was going to be a red-eye flight with one stop in between. So I was taking off at sunset over the Pacific Ocean, which was absolutely beautiful. It was the only sunset I got to see all week because we were in meetings every night until 9 o'clock. And so by the time I got out and started walking back to the hotel, it was dark every night. So the only sunset in California I got to see was the one as we were taking off for Florida. The very next morning, Sunday morning, the sunrise, I got to watch the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean, which I hope that doesn't happen too many times in my personal journey, because that meant I'd gone all night without sleep. But it was like, I bet that doesn't happen too many times in my lifetime where I watch the sun set on one ocean and rise over another ocean. And anyway, it was quite a surreal experience. So, but I also want to thank God. We've owned a property that we fixed up over in Winter Haven. And this last week, we accepted a contract on that house for someone else to buy it. And we pray it will be a blessing to them and that the Spirit of Jesus will fill the walls of that house and that it will be a soul-winning station for the kingdom of God. That's what we are praying. And God has certainly blessed us this last week. So anyway, let's get into the Word of God today, if we can. Yesterday, I talked to you about Hannah and Eli and how Eli had pronounced upon her a go in peace blessing. Today I want to take you about to the scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we are going to be talking about Jonathan and David, and there was a third person where they were known as having a lifestyle of peace. There was an authoritative decree that were spoken over these lives to tell them to journey in peace. It doesn't matter if you are coming from a place of barrenness. It doesn't matter if you are coming from a background of social insignificance. It doesn't matter if you are coming from a dysfunctional home. You can still have a godly authoritative decree over your life that says, no matter what happens to other people, go in peace. A lot of times I have found that people that the world exalts on one level are actually operating from a place of insecurity. You know, on yesterday's broadcast, we talked about Hannah and how others were provoking her. There was a lady named Penina who was provoking her, and there was a reason behind that. Penina was having breakthrough in areas of her life that Hannah wanted, but Hannah had the position of favor that Penina wanted. There was an insecurity there. And so I want to let you know today that you don't have to be a pastor to have the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace, be the noted characteristic of your life journey. You see, you don't have to be driven by your anger. You do not have to be driven by your pain. You do not have to be driven by your giftings or your finances. You can be driven by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, wholeness in every area of your life. I have had a great number of cars throughout my life because we generally don't buy new cars. As far as I know, I've never had a new car. But the cars that we would drive them, we would get a good deal on them. We would drive them until we needed another vehicle. And so I've been used to driving vehicles with issues all of my life. My current vehicle that I have, not complaining, just letting you know, it's got some issues. It doesn't have air conditioning. So I get to sweat for the glory of God in August heat. So it's just one of those things. It doesn't have any eternal bearing whatsoever. So, but through the years, whenever we would get a new vehicle, I would get in and I would drive it. And because I was used to driving vehicles with issues, if I heard a sound, I would be able to identify what that sound was and identify what the issue was. And whenever we would get that vehicle and other drivers would get in, they would start hearing sounds and they would be less familiar with what those sounds meant than what I was. And so for them, it was a big deal. I want you to know today that you don't have to allow the issues of your past to steal you of the peace of your journey. You see, I could discern whether the sound of a vehicle was just a minor issue or whether it was the integrity of the vehicle. Those provoke two different reactions from me. I can drive a vehicle without air conditioning, but I can't drive a car without brakes. You understand what I'm saying? If there's a major problem with the engine, like my vehicle, I thought it had a minor issue, and so I got it resolved. I didn't think it was that minor. I knew it was something that had never happened before. I got it resolved, and after I got it resolved, a man in my church who's a mechanic said, "Oh no, that's a problem that blows a lot of engines. You are much better off having got that thing solved." And it's like, oh, that's good. It's good to know that the integrity of the vehicle, the wholeness of the vehicle. And so you and I, we get to journey in peace. Doesn't matter if other people are annoyed by the sounds of our life or the issues that we, all I want to know is, am I walking in the wholeness that God wants for me, the peace with God? And so 1 Samuel chapter 20 is the story of David and Jonathan. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but let me just begin reading in verse number 32. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said to him, "Why should he, David, be killed? What has he done?" Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had treated him shamefully. And so it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. Then he said to his lad, "Now run, find the arrows which I shoot." As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry, do not delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master, but the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, "Go, carry them into the city." As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times, and they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So here we once again have a person of authority announcing a blessing of peace, a journey of peace over someone who ended up at the kingdom because of their giftings. David ended up serving before Saul because of his musical giftings, because Saul had turned his back on God and was tormented by demonic spirits. David had a gift of worship and was a skilled musician, and whenever he played, the demons fled. David was before Saul's court because he was mighty in battle and had killed Goliath, because he had already been trained by God in how to deal with a lion and a bear that tried to take one of the sheep that had been entrusted to David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find that when David comes into the court, that Jonathan, who is older than David, it said, "Now when he had finished," Jonathan was Saul's son, "Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt." And so they had entered into covenant together. And I will tell you this, there is, when you are walking in covenant, there is a great deal of peace. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what other forces are at work in your life. Jonathan and David walked in covenant. And so when there was a threat against David's life that was going to alter the course of his life from there on out, he was going to be pursuing a course outside of the daily mentorship that Jonathan had in his life. Jonathan was the one that trained David on how to serve in a palace. And so David was brought to the realization that day that Saul was very intent on killing him. And David was told by Jonathan, "Go in peace. Go in peace." How do you respond when you've just been told that the enemy is trying to destroy your marriage? When you are walking in covenant with the Holy Spirit says, have peace in this situation. Don't give in to the temptation. Don't give in to the problems. Don't give up to the hopelessness and the discouragement and the despondency. But journey in peace. How do you respond when your career is threatened? How do you respond when the doctor has just come in with a diagnosis? I can tell you that I've got loved ones, not family members, but people that I grew up with that had a major impact on my life, that right now they are going through some physical challenges in their life, but every step of the way they are journeying through that crisis in faith and in peace, and God is giving them a glorious testimony. So Jonathan tells David, go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, may the Lord be between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Jonathan told David, it doesn't matter what my father is trying to do. It doesn't matter what extraneous forces are operating in your life. We have the Lord at the core of our relationship, the core of our covenant. And because of that, you can go on this new adventure, this new step of your life, and it is going to be a journey of peace, not one of fear or anxiety or apprehension. You are not going to be governed by worry or fear. Go in peace, because God, his word will come to pass. Jonathan would later tell David that even my father knows that you are going to rule and reign. David's journey became quite challenged. There was a time when that lifestyle of peace was getting very intense, because Saul was journeying to try and kill him. He was pursuing him like a hunted animal. And I love this story. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 23, one of my favorite stories in the Word of God. And Saul is getting closer and closer. Verse number 14 of 1 Samuel 23. And David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a forest. Okay? So let me set the stage for you. Day after day, Saul and his men are hunting intentionally to find David, and they cannot find him, even though he is right there. Verse number 16. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows this. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. So here's the picture. Saul and all of his expert scouts are looking for David, and they cannot find him. And one day Jonathan says, you know, I think I'm going to go for a walk. And he walks to exactly where David is at. Aren't you thankful for members of the body of Christ who have commanded you, who have spoken authoritatively over your life, that your journey is supposed to be one of peace? And when no one else can find you, even when you are under threat and under attack, that the people of God and that the God of his people know exactly where you are. You are not going through anything today that God is not fully cognizant of. He knows every aspect and every detail about it. And, you know, I just have this word that is welling up inside of me that I believe that it is time for the people of God to stop settling and believe God for completion of his word and of his promises. And so Jonathan comes and finds David And I believe he was led by the Lord. I believe he was led by the Spirit of God, because when he gets there, it's not a social call. It's a ministry opportunity. He walks up to David, went to him in the woods where he was, and it says he strengthened his hand in God. I did some study on this, and it describes how he went and he grabbed David and he put David's hands in God's hands, and he strengthened him. Aren't you thankful that people who speak go in peace, they're not just uttering words, but they will show up with a timely word and a timely mission at just the right time. And so there David was with the enemy closing in. And Jonathan said, I'm here to make you stronger. I'm here to make you stronger. What's your strength level right now in the spirit? You know, the older you get, it, you know, you gain more experience, but also you have more battle opportunities, and battle opportunities are opportunities for testimony, and you get to rely upon some of that strength. Remember, I told you Jonathan was much older than David was. They weren't in the same generational bracket. They were generationally diverse. And Jonathan walks up to him and he says, I need to teach you how to find strength in God when your peace is under attack. And Jonathan reminded him of the covenant that they had. They renewed, and he reminded him, said, look, you have destiny on your life, and I support that destiny that God has called you to. Even the enemy knows the destiny that God has planned for you. And it's going to come to pass no matter who the enemy is, or what attack the enemy launches. Find strength in the God who called you. That's pretty amazing. You see, what Jonathan didn't know was that covenant that he was making with David was going to benefit his son. Mephibosheth was his son, and David later comes to the throne. And in that culture, if there was a direct generational link or a descendant connection to the throne, that person came in line. And so whenever there was a new king that came onto the scene, many times there was a purging of the entire bloodline of the king that had reigned before. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 4, Mephibosheth is summoned to the presence of David. And David tells Mephibosheth, who says, why are you paying attention to a dead dog like me? He had physical challenges. By very nature of who his grandfather was, he expected to die. And David said, you don't understand. You're going to live under my provision because your father had a major impact on my life, and I'm going to show favor to you. I can't tell you the number of times that I have heard that children of faithful men and women of God ended up experiencing unprecedented favor because mom and dad had walked in covenant with God. Now listen, God has no grandchildren. He just has children. But I believe that there are many times that we sow the seeds of faithfulness and we reap that harvest, not just in our life, but in other people's lives to come. That lesson that Jonathan taught him on strengthening his hand in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember, all of this started when Jonathan said, you're going to be launched on a journey and I want you to go in peace. And God had provided miraculously for David not to be engaged in doing battle with the people of Israel. It is time that the people of the church stopped doing battle with one another and started contending with the real spiritual enemies that we have, the principalities, the powers, the rulers in high places. It's not a war against flesh. We're not competing with other churches. We are competing with the prince of darkness for the souls of men. We're contending for the faith. And so my job is not to attack other believers. My job is to preach the word of truth and see souls saved. That's what it's all about. And David ended up getting sent home from the battlefield that day, and he went home to Ziklag, and he found that everyone had been attacked in Ziklag, and all their wives and all of their children had been carried off into battle or carried off as prisoners of war, and the men were bitter, and everybody was overcome with sorrow. And let me just tell you what it says, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. It says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him." Here he is right on the threshold of fulfilling his destiny of being king, and the people are talking about killing him. But listen, David had been through this battle before. He had learned this lesson before. "Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." Okay, you've got to understand that many times people lash out at others because of the grief that they are going through themselves. Listen to this last sentence. "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." What was it that Jonathan had done when David was about to be hemmed in and the person trying to kill him was closing in? He went and he taught David how to strengthen himself in God. Here, David is hemmed in again. He is, you know, under threat. People are talking about stoning him right before the fulfillment of his life's destiny. And David said, "Jonathan's not here, but I know what he taught me to do. He taught me to find strength in God. I'm not going to be distraught over this loss. I'm going to find strength in God. I am going to go in peace. I am going to find out what God's strategy for this circumstance is. And I'm going to go and reclaim that which the enemy has stolen from me." Today, I want you to know that God hasn't changed his plans for you. They're still the same as they've always been. The enemy wants to try, even right up till the very last minute, to derail you. Find strength today in God, and may you go in peace. May you go in covenant with God and the peace that he provides. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."